won't be before you too long. But I was studying on this word and I thought it was interesting. But before I go into that, I have to give a brief testimony, if you don't mind. What you see standing before you as a person is the songwriter say, who has been blessed from above. I suffered cancer, but I'm healed. I suffered a deadly tumor, but I'm healed. Had a stroke in 2017, and as a result of that, I lost my sight for 2 days, but I'm healed. And on the 1st of April of this year, I suffered a mild heart attack. But I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
So what you see standing before you is a testimony that God can and will deliver and heal. Whatever you're going through, just look at me. I'm a living testimony. So I just want you to use this example and walk with it and allow God to work on your behalf as far as whatever you need and whatever he can do for you. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, tablets or whatever you like to use, I would like for you to turn to the first book of Kings, chapter 19. This is an unusual story, but in a way to where I don't hear it discussed much or talked about, or maybe I just don't listen for it, I don't know. But I find this story to be very interesting to the point where it made me see certain things, not just about my life, but what a person can be basically going through, dealing with, and coming out of, if you will. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, if you don't mind. 1 Kings 19, 19. This story is about Elisha. We all know about the prophet Elijah. Not Elijah, but Elisha. Some people call him Elisha, but I prefer to call him Elisha. And as I read, so he departed thence and found Elisha. Now, this is Elijah coming upon Elisha. Elijah finding Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, Elisha, and ran after Elijah. And said, "Let me, I pray, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen. Of the oxen and gave it unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, so what is it about this story that I can apply or listen to or enjoy or even consider this story? Well, like what I would like to use as a topic, if you will, you have been called. You have been called. Now, when you look at this story in its totality, Elijah walks upon Elisha. and places his cloak, his mantle, if you will, upon his shoulders. And Elisha, knowing who he was and the purpose that he was basically trying to really convey to him or to understand, we understand that Elijah's purpose in finding Elisha was to find the next prophet that would follow after him before Christ, I mean, before God takes him away in the fiery chariot. We know that story. So Elijah was seeking out Elisha to continue the prophetic work that he, Elijah, was called to do. Now he's given his cloak, his mantle, to a successor. Now you have to understand that during this time, the only way God can talk to anyone was through a prophet, especially to the nation of Israel. So we got to keep that particular thought in mind. The only way that he could convey his will, his purpose, was through a prophet. So Elijah laid the cloak or his mantle upon the shoulders of Elisha. Now, when Elisha realized what he was doing, he knew that this was a moment in his life that everything was going to change. But in order for everything to change, he had to what? First commit to the calling. Now, what I find so amazing about this story is that Elisha made an appeal unto Elijah. And he said, wait a minute, and I'm putting it in my words, before I can follow you, I have to tend to some things that I'm still responsible for or to. So he said, let me go back and take care of my community, my property, my family. And then I will come back and follow you. Now, you got to remember, now, Elijah looked at him and said, all right, go ahead and do what you got to do. You have this free will. You don't have to follow me. Just like we don't have to follow Christ, he's given us a free will to go left or to right or back or whatever we want to do. But he said, fine, if you want to go back, go on back. So he went back. But see, Elijah did not doubt that, hey, okay, he's going to leave and not come back. He said, all right, no problem. I'm going to wait on you. I got my Timex on. So Elijah goes back, kills the 12 oxen, destroys, or let's say breaks up the equipment that he used to plow with, and caused that instruments and everything to be a part of not only cooking the animals, but serving the animals to the community. In other words, everything that he was involved with, everything that he was doing culturally, whatever the case may be, he made sure that everything that he was connected to at one point in time, he destroyed it. Why did he destroy it? Why did he remove everything that he was that was formerly in his life to do? That was his lifestyle, his makeup, everything of who he was at that time. Why? This is important because the reason he destroyed everything, because he just didn't want to have anything to come back to. There was no remnant for him to come back. There was nothing for him to come back to because he destroyed everything that was a part of his former life, his former way of life. Are you following me today? So what does that have to do with you and me today? Well, simply this. When you gave your life to Christ, there had to have been a turning point in your life to where you would say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Am I right?
Yeah.
But sometimes we are so slow and slothful or not too quick to let go of our former things. We still want to hold on to the things that at one point in time delighted our hearts and our minds and kept us at a place in life where we were distant and separated from the godly things and the goodly things and all the things that matter when it came to following after Christ. See, Elisha destroyed everything that he was connected to so that if he decided to leave Elijah, he would go back to that former life, but he destroyed everything. So therefore, there was nothing for him to go back to. So we got to find ourselves or place ourselves in a position to believe that once you committed your life to Christ, there is no turning back. Jesus says, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and decide to go back is not worthy. What did he mean by that? He was simply saying that if and when you turn back to those former things, to those things I've taken you out of, the lying, the cheating, and all the things that were against you, all the things that what I took to the cross to deliver you from, if you decide to go back, then you're not worthy or fit for the kingdom. So Elijah destroyed everything so that he wouldn't go back. So what is it in your life that you have destroyed that you know that if you had a down moment, a bad moment, a moment to where you were in distress. Now let me elaborate on that. Now in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I think it's 24, where it talks about what shall separate you from the love of God. And it gives a list of things that could cause a person to be separated from the love of God. One of the words that stood out for me was the word distress. Now, what does that mean to you and to me? Distress means that any emotional experience, rejection, denial, frustration, lack of faith, loss of faith, giving up on God, giving up on everything that basically brought you to the place of making a decision to continue in God or to leave God. What shall separate you from that will cause that much distress for you to turn your back and go back to the former things, to the things that you did not destroy, but yet still had a place in your life? You may go back to smoking or cussing, whatever the thought may be. I don't know because I'm not you. You know your past better than I do. You know the things, you know the former things that you delighted in, that you followed after, that you entertained, the places you went to, the songs you listened to, the words that you spoke. You know your past. But see, Elisha destroyed everything so he wouldn't have to go back to it. So what shall separate you from the love of God? Here's a story. Now, when Jesus called the 12, right? He first found Andrew and Peter with their father at the shoreline mending nets. Is that right? And when he said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And he said this to all the disciples that he said, "Follow me." And they all left their boats, their families, and everything that they were, they're basically attending to as fishermen. We know Matthew was a tax collector and Luke was a doctor. So, yet they left their profession, right, to follow after Christ. But when the distress came, what was their distress? Christ being crucified. The Bible says they scattered like ants, they fled, if you will. But here's the thing that is different from the story in Kings versus the story of the disciples. See, Elisha destroyed everything that was in his former life. But see, when the disciples scattered and left Christ as he was being crucified, they all went back to their former life. They went back to fishing again. See, they did not destroy their father's boats. They did not destroy the nets that they fished with. They did not destroy those things that were a part of their former life. They went back to it because that was their only way of dealing with what? The distress that Romans talks about. What shall separate you from the love of God? So they went back to the things that were familiar to them, things that they were comfortable in, things that they could go back without a problem adjusting to them. What shall separate you from the love of God? But we know the story about that too, because Jesus told Peter before he was crucified, he said, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. So we know that in the book of Acts, they got together, got to the house, got to the meeting room, and next thing you know, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind, but I digress. But they came back to the place where Christ had called them to be followers of Christ. Is that right? So what am I trying to say to you as an individual? As I've said to myself, because before I came to you with this message, the message came to me. That if we were to do a comparison, would we rather go back to our former life, to the fishing hole, to the nets, and work again with our parents and all the things that we formerly did, and I lived the former things of this life, that because of the distress and the rejection of everything that we've encountered as Christians, as we go through life, things are said against us, pushed against us, pressed against us, all the trouble and trials that we go through, all the things that can cause us to lose heart and lose faith, and we go back to the former things, then who gets the glory? Where is God glorified in this? He's not. So what must we do? One, bear our crosses. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6, the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. At some point in time in your life, you're going to have to thirst after the righteousness of God. You're going to have to thirst after the godly things that make up the Christian life. What is that? Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. These things are a reflection of the righteousness of God. When you can walk in love, peace, and joy, and all the things that are listed in chapter 5 of Galatians, these are the characteristics of a man that is righteous. You got to thirst after these things that when you are under distress, when you're having problems, when you're going through medical issues, and all the things that can come down and press upon you. Don't go back to the former things. Make sure those former things are no longer existing in your life. That you have no reason to turn back, like the woman when they were delivered out of Sodom. Lot's wife looked back. She wanted to look back at the things that were in her past, that were former things. But what happened? You know the story. See, we got to come to a place in our lives that if we're going to live for Him, then we need to live for Him. Don't let it be an open confession, and then your life is a lie. Don't let that happen. Abraham, he was so determined to follow the promise that God gave him that the Bible says he staggered not. Is that right? By faith, he walked and did the things that God had said that he would bring to pass in his life, and he staggered not. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I'm pleading to you today, be like Elisha. When you decide to follow after godly men or godly people, more importantly, the will of God, make sure you remove everything in your life, your former things, that can cause you to trip up, slip up, and fall. But we know that God is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. Is that right?
Yes.
So I close with this. I pray that this helps someone. There was a song that an artist wrote. It was a very entertaining song, Hezekiah Walker. The song says, I'm sold out. My mind is made up. You know the song. I am sold out. My mind is made up. No matter what the affliction, no matter what the problem, no matter what the tribulation, no matter of the sorrow, no matter of the grief, always remember Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are an overcomer. You are a winner, not a loser. God is purposing you the things that will what? Keep you not only alive, but strengthened and full of joy, not sorrow. So I'm asking you, as you walk through this life, be like Elisha, not as the 12, and they forsook, and in their distress, they went back to the former things. Delight in the Lord, delight in him. Turn not to the left or to the right. And remember, we can do all things through Christ. Thank you.